From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. It's the day we read from your letters, and this Thursday we have some email about an item that was on yesterday, and also an item about yesterday.
First, Wednesday's interview with the Massachusetts chicken farmer who tracked the killer dog who got into his yard through DNA analysis.
Tom Green in Waverly Hall, Georgia writes, "We also raise free-range chickens, referred to around here as yard birds, and are thinking of adapting his technique to solve a few mysteries of our own. Besides dogs, our birds have fallen prey to possums, rat snakes, barred owls, red-tailed hawks, and foxes that we know of. Now that we know, we can identify not only the species, but the individual animal responsible for pilfering our poultry. Collective punishment and the execution of the innocent will be a thing of the past."
Ann Chamberlain of Salt Lake City writes this, "My chicken murder story is more along the lines of Miss Marple. Once I got over the horror of finding 11 little corpses in my coop and had no idea who the culprit was, I set sadly to burying them. At the bottom of the heap was the rooster, and there, clutched in his death grip, was a dog collar that led me right up the street. The owners, I'm glad to say, pleasantly paid for the damage their Dalmatian had done."
And then there was British author Spencer Lee's theory that Paul McCartney's song Yesterday was inspired by Nat King Cole's recording of Answer Me, lyrics by Carl Sigmund.
First, a correction and an observation from Mr. Sigmund's son Michael about that item. Spencer Lee told us someone else rewrote the lyric to get the word Lord out of it. Michael Sigmund writes, "Carl Sigmund himself rewrote his lyric. He did it under protest, but all the words are his. Second, I think it's more likely that McCartney unconsciously remembered the Frankie Lane Answer Me Lord Above version of the song than the Nat Cole version, as Lane's rendition was a number one record in England when Paul was a kid."
But not everyone was impressed by the connection between the tunes.
C.J. Putnam of Cheyenne, Wyoming says, "I think Spencer Lee must hear music in the key of deaf. His theory is bunk."
Dolly High of Shafter, California calls it hooey. But just the same, she adds, "Thanks for an entertaining discussion."
Which is more gratitude than a lot of you expressed.
"I've been listening to All Things Considered for 30 years.
This from David Beatty of Silver Spring, Maryland.
"In all that time, I have never heard a non-story like this one. I cannot believe that July 7th, 2003 was such a slow news day that the show's editors had to scrape the bottom of the bottommost barrel in NPR's sub-basement to find a way to fill some airtime."
And on to some other stories.
Eric Wellman in Northborough, Massachusetts, wrote about producer Dan Collison's story on Coco Means of Chicago, who's been relocated from public housing.
He writes, "NPR did a tremendous job of putting a human face on troubling statistics. It shows that poverty is a culture, not a choice. It refutes the claim of many that people are poor simply because they are lazy."
Finally, a comment on Scottish dialect from Louise Height in Kenai, Alaska, who heard our story on July 4th. "When she lived in Iceland, she watched a popular Scottish mystery series on local Icelandic television, and she writes, the show was at least nominally in English, but the dialect was so unintelligible to me that I found myself having to read the Icelandic subtitles to be able to follow what was going on."
Send us your comments in Icelandic, Scottish, dialect, whatever. Our address is atc@npr.org. When you write to us, please tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.